Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to Life After Dusk with Daddy J. The best news, the best hip-hop, the best entertainment, the best everything.
Life After Dusk, make rumors get stomped on. Yes, make rumors get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make rumors get stomped on. Yes. Make rumor get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make rumor get stomped on. Yeah, make rumor get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make rumor get stomped on. Yeah, make rumor get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make rumor get stomped on. Say AJ will leave your body on the floor. Still I'm on the lead of introduction. Break out the crack of dawn. Keep the rings of wars blazing to the dome. Proof can't believe the hype. Believe the hype. The girls are gone. We getting
wild for the night.
Come with better moves, put up a better fight. Keeping other opponents, yeah, they always in my sight. So before you come forward to the ring and enter, all eyes on you, yeah, front and center. If you're scared, so you're scared of still playing victory. Going strong for the belt, we're about to make history. Ring the bell, better yet, ring the alarm. Leaving bodies that were pain like a thing from a swarm. So we get over here, yeah, I know you really don't want none. You know who it is, make rumors get stomped on.
Life After Dusk, make rumor get stomped on. Yeah, make rumor get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make rumor get stomped on. Yeah, make rumor get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make rumor get stomped on. Yeah, make rumor get stomped on. Life After Dusk, make rumor get stomped on. Yeah, make rumor get stomped on.
Cause if I bet you, I don't need money, I don't need cars, girl, you're my home. And oh, I'm into you, and you know.
Welcome back to My Friends F Live with your boy Freddie J. Y'all definitely get it in. I'm trying to say a shout out to my boy Goofy Bones. Shout out to, I guess, who we're about to bring on in a split second, and that is my boy DJ Disco. Here we go.
What up?
What's good?
How you feeling, brother? Chilling.
It's one of those days where I feel like I'm in like a really great mood today. Like, I don't know what it is. I guess everyone I've been around with is in a positive mood, and that always makes you feel really good.
Well, that's what's up. Positive energy, man. That's what it's all about.
So I try my best to be a positive light as much as possible and try to just be there and make other people happy, positive, too. So that's definitely good. It's feeling today.
Hopefully, if someone's having a bad day, they're going to hear this interview and they're going to be like, man, lucky they just got a little bit better.
Yes, sir. But, man, it's definitely a pleasure to meet you, man. You know, every time I talk to DJs, I'm always interested in talking to them because they are the beacon in between the artists need as far as getting the music out there. And they're the ways that they usually help move the. They're pretty much, I feel like they're the liaison between the artist and the crowd. Without the DJ, you wouldn't have anybody play the music for the crowd to hear and to be moved by and say, okay, this is my jam right here.
That's right, 100%. It's the context that you put it in. It's like, you know, putting a song in is like putting it in a sentence. If you put it in at the right spot, people are going to start feeling it. If you put it in the wrong place, people are going to be like, what do you say? Huh? What? Where did that come from? So it's the same thing.
Well, definitely, man. First off, man, we want to go ahead and start off with, like, how did you, like, can you give us a background? So how did you actually get into DJing, and what did you know that was definitely something you want to continue doing?
Well, first, I mean, I've always been into music. First, I was a heavy break dancer, and then I was going around the East Coast and just going to different clubs and break dancing, doing different contests, et cetera. And I always kind of knew DJs from that point. And after that, I went into production, and I was living in Virginia Beach at the time, and I started working with Knotts. And Knotts is a Grammy-nominated producer. He's been on Kanye West's album, been on Swizz Beatz album, going to be on Detox, working with Mariah Carey, Busta Rhymes, everyone. So he took me under his wing, and that's when I was doing a production thing. And then I ended up moving to Miami and met DJ Irie. And I've always been into DJing and, you know, into music. My music library was huge. So after that, I just talked to Irie, and I was like, yo, you know, I think I'd be a great DJ. You know, can you show me how this is done? So he took me under his wing, and he showed me the ropes, and it was just on from there. That was just like a passion.
Most definitely, man. Like, it is like a definitely an art that you just. I think you gotta also have you already had that gift in you already. I don't think that. You know, someone will teach you some of the techniques, but some things are just built within you already.
Right, no doubt, no doubt.
It has to be a gift.
Yeah, you got to feel it. I mean, I felt it since I was a kid. Like, I always felt the beat. I felt the music. I always had a connection with the music, and that's something that it's a gift that you always have to have. Like, you just can't simulate it. If someone simulates that gift, it's transparent. You can just see right through them.
Most definitely, man. Well, here goes the next question. As far as, like, with DJing, too, like, how important is it to be a DJ that breaks music versus that plays music? Because there's a total, people don't realize there's a big difference between breaking music and just playing music. How important is that, and how do you go about that yourself?
Like I said, it's DJing's like a sentence or a paragraph, and you know, if you want to make people understand it, you have to put the things in at the right time. So if you want to really break a song, and if the song has a good beat and it's a song that people can really dance to, if you put it on, you know, sometime in a late mix where everyone's already jamming, they're gonna already feel like, oh, like I should be dancing to this song. Like, why wouldn't I be dancing to it? You know, as opposed to if you break a song real early in the night when no one's there, or you know, when people are just starting to groove, you could actually just stop the flow of the movement. You know, so it's about a flow, and you gotta put the thing in a proper place so the flow so you can maintain that flow. Because you know,
I've seen DJs do that. Like, they'll break a song just at the wrong time, and it messes up the groove, and I was like, okay, what the heck is really going on?
Yeah, it'll clear the dance floor if you do it. But, you know, if you do it at the right time, people just expect to be dancing to it. They're like, oh, why wouldn't I be dancing to this song? This is a great song.
And some people, I think they do this, and they pick up the turntables, and they just do the most random thing, and they just throw DJ in front of their name and don't really put any thought process behind it or any skill behind it. Like, I'm seeing some of them like, you just go to bed, you just press or something. You're not really DJ. Even when you have pre-made mixes, they don't even, like, some people have, some DJs have their mixes ready. But when it comes to that, they have their mixes ready and they actually put the stuff together in a good form. Some of them that have their stuff pre-made, don't even, the pre-made mixes don't even sound good. So it's just like, what the heck?
Well, you know, a good DJ doesn't need to pre-make anything, because you're just going to go in and you're going to catch the vibe of the crowd, and either you're going to catch the vibe or you're going to create the vibe. You know what I mean? So, you know, as a DJ, you got to be the puppet master. You got to take people on a musical journey, basically, and you got to move them to where you want to be. So, and there's like a movement of the flow of the night. So sometimes you want to cool it and you want to calm it down. Sometimes you want the night popping. So, and you also got to think of the bar. Like, you don't want people dancing constantly, 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 and then the bar's not making no money. So that's when you got to cool it down a little bit, and then you bring people to the bar, then you warm them back up after they had a little couple more drinks, and then they're ready to start dancing again. So it's a give and take situation.
Exactly, exactly. I think a lot of people miss that key element too, the bar situation. You know, people are like, oh, I don't want to hear this song right now, but then they go get something to drink from the bar, and that's actually what the purpose was in the first place.
Yep.
I've seen DJs like I tell them to their face. And I make comments on Facebook and Twitter all the time. I always tell them, like you said, I always say, okay, don't meet a really good DJ can do this. They can hear requests, but they don't really necessarily go by requests, if people understand what I mean by that. In other words, the person can make a request, but really, you don't really listen to it because you already got them covered, because you already had it in your set anyway. It's just a matter of, you play the way you play the stuff you do play, it still moves the person. And then when you get them to that song that they requested, then they get really live.
Yeah, it's funny when people like make requests, because they'll make a request sometimes that's so off. It's like just you know, you're playing some fast music, and then they play like they want you to play a super slow song, or just I don't know, just something totally off the wall. So you just tell them, hey, you know, I'll get to it when I can, and then you just try and work it in the best way possible. And sometimes you could fit it in, and you already know you were going to play it, but you have to fit it in at the right spot. Sometimes it's just a banger, and you just can't play it at that time. You got to wait. And they always do this with the bangers. They're just like, oh, let me hear it early. I want to hear that song. And that's a song that you got to play, you know, when to keep the people in the club, or to keep the vibe going, you know, later in the evening, and you just can't play that banger that early. It just can't happen.
Well, definitely, man. Because like a lot of people, like, first of all, like one of the songs, like, of course, like when Jeezy and Plies song goes on, Lose My Mind. Like, I hate when people want to ask for that song so early. I just feel like I don't know. To me, I always want to hear it. It's always good to hear it right around like the 12:40 to 12:50 time. It's something about it when you play it right around that time. Everyone that is like live, and then you play that, and then they're really live in.
Yeah. They need the alcohol in their system. They need that joint flowing already. So they loose. They ready to party. So when that song drops, they just go crazy over it.
Exactly. So, man, I would definitely say this. What would you say was, as far as like places you DJ at, what would you say was probably the best places you DJ? Well, I feel like this. I'm going to use the one. What's probably the top three places you DJ there in no particular order?
The top three places. Let's see. There's a club in the Hard Rock, Pangea, and they have it's in the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and they have a couple locations across the U.S., and that's definitely been a hot spot. Let me see. The Forge, actually, in South Beach. It was those Staples in Miami. It was like one of those old-time things that's been around forever. And it was actually in Cocaine Cowboys. They were talking about how they used to mess it up, and the gangsters just used to give them cash, the owners cash, and they just used to fix it back up. So that's pretty cool. And let me see. Where else? See, there's been a couple cool clubs that have been here, and then, you know, they just went out of business. So there was this one, MI6, it was in Gulfstream Casino, and it was a huge, beautiful place. But something happened, and they just closed randomly. But that was a great spot, too.
Man, it's always a really great spot, man. Because this is one spot, it's uncontested. I don't care what anyone says. When Purgatory was opened up in downtown Dallas, you did not screw a club Purgatory. I mean, yeah, there were clubs that were still live, but you knew on Thursday night, I mean, the other nights were live too, but Thursday night was the best night. And you knew on Thursday night that was where, if you were trying to find something to do on Thursday, you need to be at Purgatory. because they were four levels tall, and they had just like they had different music on different levels, and then just the different vibes and everything. It was just like perfect. I'm just like, damn, when they closed down, my whole world shattered, man.
Yeah, man. See, that happens, yo. Like the hottest spots, they'll be popping, and then all of a sudden, you just be like, "What the hell happened? Everyone was over here."
And then somebody brought it out. Somebody brought it out for right around when the All Star game came in last year. Or this year, I said last year, this year. And then after a couple of events after that, Tony just disappeared with the money and all this stuff, hiding from people. So I was like, "Hey, we almost had Purgatory, man, but you had to mess it up."
So, they always be doing some dumb stuff. It's the behind the scenes things. It's not the crowd or getting people in the door, the DJs. It's the behind the scenes things with like the club owner and the management and the sometimes the promoters and stuff. So, you know, all you could do as a DJ is come in and rock the spot and have the people follow you to the next one.
Exactly, and sometimes that's why I like tell people all the time too. Sometimes like it's not the artist. When you go to the club, sometimes even though the artist is performing, it helps the artist be elevated more because of who the DJ is going to be. They're like, "Oh man, this person will be DJing. I gotta go." That's used a lot of times. That's what dictates me going somewhere is the DJ.
Oh yeah, no doubt. If you have a DJ that you know and you like and you can vibe to, like a lot of DJs, they want to switch up their set constantly, but they don't realize that a lot of people are known for a certain style or a certain sound that they give, and you know a lot of that has to do with the music that they play in their set. So you know people are vibing to it. Of course you want to add new elements or subtract elements, but you want to keep the vibe and the sound kind of the same because that's what people are really coming to you for.
Right. I was like, once I went to yesterday, or one of my best partners was just begging me, he's like, "All right, man, we should have to go to this spot." I was like, "I don't know if I'm going to go because I thought when they switch it over for a little bit, there's another DJ who I just cannot stand. He DJs, and, like, he just goes into this whole other realm and doesn't. He doesn't think. He's just touching turntables. That's all he's doing. And I was like, okay. I don't know if I can go, man. And then the DJ who used to be there was there doing the DJ stuff again. I was like, thank God. So I can take this now.
I'm back in my zone. I'm cool.
My zone kicked on quick. Even like you were saying, like chill down zone. Even when it's a great DJ. You're so live, you're like, "Man, I'm just going to go get me a drink anyway, even when the day is under ruin." You're like, "Man, I got to be like real live." But most definitely, man, we're going to do a very quick song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to you a little bit more.
Yeah, man. Even in that chill-out zone, you can still play bangers in the chill-out zone. It's just, you know, the vibe has... The energy's still there, but the vibe, the music slowed down a little bit. But that don't mean they don't have to be bangers too. You know what I mean?
Exactly, man. But y'all, hold on real quick, y'all. We're gonna be right back right here on Life at Dusk Live. Your boy Teddy J, special guest, the boy DJ Grisco.
Yeah.
All right, so y'all don't touch that dial. Don't do anything crazy. Don't touch the mouse. Whatever y'all want to call it today, just don't touch it. Just sit there, chill, relax, and play back. This is my boy Quest featuring Sir Lance and She's Hot. Right back.
I need you too. get it where I want, throw out on the dance floor, baby girl, let's go. Don't stop my love, know what I want. Drop that thing, do you know what I mean? Come roll with a team, then I take you where you want. Yo, shorty, don't front. See girls get jealous, cause they wanna be down, now see why. Let's get real live. Take you around the world, see baby, we will ride. This is my game, let me do my way. Girl, you feel me when I sing. Now we out of the club in the parking lot, pimping, see what I'm missing. You a cutie too, what I'm gonna do? Let's make a move.
I want you. So hot, hit the stop and give you pause. Baby girl, you're what I'm waiting for. Queens of queens, you are a dream. Come take my hand and get up on the floor. Floor, floor, floor. A little more, 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 more. Get on the floor. Floor, floor, floor. A little more, 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 more.
What it do, man? This your homeboy Six Figures, man, all the way from the West Coast, California. You understand that? And whenever I'm not in the studio, man, I'm sitting back chilling, man, listening to Life After Dusk live on Ice Radio USA and the Dust Spot. Ceddie J, I see you, man. Yay!
Yay! Welcome back, y'all. The boy Six Figures. Shout out to him. And that was Chris Cross. I'm kind of the music and feel official person. And got my boy Sir Lance on that track. That was She's Hot. But man, we're back in the building with my boy DJ Disco.
Yo, yo, what's good?
Yes, most definitely, man. Glad, man. Definitely, man. Really, really appreciating this. Like I said before, you know, this always happens when DJs come in here. It's always good to really talk to DJs and just kind of see that feel for that side. Artists, there's one thing to hear from artists, and then for the people that. From people that listen to music, but to hear from the people who are in between, it's always great to hear from them because they're the people who help move both sides. So most definitely. But man, here's a question for you, man. My next big question would be, what's probably like the worst night you've had DJing?
Oh man. Yo, you know, sometimes you have that night where everything goes wrong, like your needle breaks, the mixer stops. Yo, like, you getting all these crazy requests. The management of the club is telling you to play one thing, and then there's, like, two or three managers, and they're all telling you to play different stuff. That actually happened one night where just everything just went wrong, and you just got to manage to play through it. You just got to make it work. as best as you can, and you got to turn around and shake it off. Second?
The speakers go out as well?
Now, luckily, the speaker didn't go, but everything else went. I thought I blew a speaker, too. I just, man, it's one of those nights where you just want to forget it, and so thanks for bringing it, thanks for bringing it back up, man. I appreciate that, man. Because that's a humbling experience.
Yeah, sometimes we need that. I think we need the humble experience of, that kind of just keep us level in this. They also help us to make sure that we get whatever we can do is possible to make sure we don't, that stuff doesn't go crazy.
Yeah, man. Shoot. I can't believe what a night. You know what the worst part about nights like that is? The worst part is trying to bounce it back and not letting it shake your confidence. That's like, because, you know, you can have a night like that, and then you turn around and you're like, man, what did I do wrong? You know, I mean, just like a bad day at work, you're just like, how can I make it better? Why did this happen? What can I do? And, you know, to come back the next night and have to try and rock the crowd again and not let that shake you, that's very hard to do sometimes.
When you see it's consistent and every time they're at a spot, and that's really bad. When you have bad nights like that too often, like, and you see it's like every time that you're at, you see a DJ, and you're like, dang, he's doing that same exact stuff. What's really going on? If I can keep thinking the bad nights, it's craziness.
Yeah, man, those are the worst. But you gotta shake it off, come back. It's like everything else in life. It's not how you deal with the good stuff. It's how you deal with the adversities and how you bounce back from that. That's what's the true measure of your character is.
Okay, so man, here's a big mystery I've been wondering. Okay, so I get hit up by Bubba Boy Scott, of course, known for over a year now, in this. Know how hard his work ethic is. Here's Scott, and then all of a sudden he hits me up and tells me about you. How did y'all actually end up running into each other? And what's symbolic about y'all working with each other? What are we getting ready? Let's get ready to happen that this happened.
Talking
this,
about
me between y'all happened.
We talking about Elevated Scott?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, that's the dude. Elevated Scott, I mean, we actually ran into each other on Facebook. He was friends with one of my business associates, and then I'm signed with CEG Talent, and my manager, Sal, I saw he was friends with him, and I saw that they were speaking on Twitter. So, I like to do research on people. You got to be proactive in your career, so you just got to turn around and start looking around and see, you know, what people are doing and what people are, who are they talking to. So I just did that, and that's how we ended up linking up. We started talking about what we did and how we did it, and now me and Scott, that's my dude, yo. That's my right and left hand. We making stuff happen. So we're going to be working on some clothing designs. We working on another mixtape, and we got a lot of big things coming up for 2011. So this is it was definitely a blessing meeting him.
Right. Like I said, I always tell people, I just try to tell people, a lot of people know he's whining. You know, I like the fact he's tough, because he kind of, the fact that he's tough, he's kind of helped build my backbone up some more to deal with industry. And I mean, everything is, whenever he's tough for me, it's like, okay, bam. And now I've learned, because of him, I've learned how to get real quick about doing things, like, or giving this, bam, bam, bam. It's like, What I've realized now is with him, and I've been trying to tell, like, some of the artists that run to too, that come talk to me, they're like, oh, my God, man, I can't really get in touch with Scott. I'm trying to figure out what he's doing. Like, what you got to do is, you got to be, I just feel like this, you got to be two steps ahead of him, but you got to slow down some, too, if people understand what that means. Like, don't go so slow where he has to continue to hold your hand and tell you everything to do. But at the same time, like, don't be in a rush, or don't like, okay, man, when is this gonna happen? When is this gonna happen? Like, don't rush it. Like, just be just be patient. He's a person who really takes time and to make sure that things are getting done the right way, but he does it at a critical speed as well.
Right, right. You got to be willing to accept the speed that things are moving, but make sure that you're proactive and try and make things happen for you, but not push it, not rush it. Because sometimes you try and rush this stuff and you seem too eager. You know, you seem too needy and too wanting. People want to work with someone that is successful. They don't want to work with someone who's not, you know, at their level, or, you know what I mean, or who can't present something to the table for them.
Right. And like I said, that's the thing. From day one, I was always I just got better, even better. But I was presenting myself as, okay, this, I'm 7J, I do this, and yada yada yada. And that's the thing. You gotta put yourself out there. My dad taught me this very well, and I always say this when he does it right in front of yourself, is that you got to do it just a 15-second pitch. You got to be real quick about it, and you got to be real precise about what you do and what you tell people. You're like, so this is interesting, man. Most definitely, man.
Your dad was a wise man.
Yeah, that's exactly why he's the founder of Northwest Urban Entertainment.
Oh, okay.
Because of that reason. He actually started something basically to, you know, help independent artists for different reasons. And just it's taking in some of the stuff he's done, because he's done a little bit of everything. But he really started a company to kind of help build me up and a couple other of my colleagues as well to really help us take over the game and do stuff. And he's just kind of playing a background.
Well, that's what's up. See, that's why you have the success that you have, because, you know, your dad was a hustler. Obviously, his offspring is going to be a hustler. Your kid is going to be a hustler, and the hustler list goes down the line.
Well, it kind of takes you down the bloodline, man. And as far as, like, man, because I know, like you say, you being a lot of stuff, you do a production, DJ and stuff. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, like, look, you probably do this every day. People think it's, because they see the final stuff, they'll never see the behind the scenes. They see the final stuff, and they always think it's so simple. Everything is so simple.
Man, they don't know the struggle. Just to attain a little bit of success, you have to put so much work in, so much sweat, so much heartache, so much adversities went into just that little bit of success that people might see. There's the whole story behind it. Every door that closed for that one door that opened, and people don't realize that. But, you know, sometimes they just get jealous and they're just like, oh man, well, how did this guy get this and how did they do that? But they didn't see the behind the scenes. You know, the blood, sweat, and tears that you went through. I'm talking from experience, fam. I'm talking from experience.
Real. Some people think that the blood part is just being cheap, man. Now, sometimes you really do go through some blood. You just have to fight with people, man, to get through stuff. It's like, oh, my God, what's going on? Give me through this.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sometimes you got to spend your last dollar just to make a dollar. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But just to get that head, just to get ahead, that one step, you gotta go without. So I definitely learned a level of appreciation for everything that I've got and everything that I'm going to get in the future.
Right. It's like, once again, like you said earlier, being humble. And a lot of times, too, like, so are you the type of person that looks out for people more, or you look out for yourself more? How do you describe yourself more?
I'm the type of person, I want to scratch a back that's scratching mine. You know what I mean? Like, if someone's helping me,
right,
I'm going to go out of my way to find a way to help them. And that's, I mean, like, for instance, I had a interview for a magazine yesterday, as a matter of fact. And my boy who's doing the interview, it was actually someone I knew a long time ago, like years ago, and he just got started into writing, and he just got in with this magazine. So I'm like, yo, as soon as this interview is done, I'm gonna hit you up with this other magazine, this other publicist or editor rather, and I'm gonna hook you up with them, and maybe you guys can get a collaboration going over there too, so then you can start writing at different places. So I mean, that's just the type of person I am. I feel like if you eat and you can get someone else to eat, you might as well, because they're going to turn around eventually and they're going to end up looking out for you if they're a genuine person.
Right. And it's not being, like a lot of people think, you know, it's being selfish because if you scratch, like you said, scratching, you scratch my back and scratch your back. Like, that's it. But the thing is, especially like when you've done so much and you're where you're at, it really does get to the point where you say, okay, you know, I'm going to keep doing all this stuff, especially when somebody does something to me. It's like, even they do a small ounce or something, I'm like, I'm breaking my back. I'm going to break my back for that person. I'm like, oh, what can I? I'm like, everything I can do, I'm like, okay, I got to make this happen. That person did that small thing for me. I got to make this happen. Like Carol Mitchell, again, on the show, he asked me to start doing stuff for Back House Party and say, okay, every week on the show, and pretty soon we're gonna be getting our tickets to the stuff because of the events and to help pick up youth. And he never asked me to do it. It's just something that, you know, you took your time out. You could have been like a lot of some celebrities I know that get real big headed and they go, oh, I ain't got to come to that show. I'm too big for that show. And they're a person that's on the same, that's below the totem pole than him. And just for him to take his talent and come to the show, I feel like that I owe him so much.
Man, I got a good story for you. And this just happened in the last, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff happening for me in the last 2 days. But, in the last 2 days, I spoke on the phone with Slim with 112, Young Jock, and today I spoke with Diddy. I was on the DJ conference line, and he was at Saturday Night Live. Diddy was at Saturday Night Live doing a practice run for a skit that he's going to have on Saturday, and he called into the DJ conference, and he was talking about The Last Train to Paris, how that's dropping December 14th, and how he appreciates the DJs and he shows love to the DJs because the DJs is what started him in this business and what got him to where he's got to be. So, I mean, that's Diddy, Mr. Ciroc, Mr. Coco Loso, Mr. Everyone. So he's turning around and showing love and appreciation. And he's looking out and just coming on a call so we can talk to him and we can pick his brain about certain stuff. I mean, if Diddy can do it, you can do it, or anyone else can do it. That's the bottom line.
I got to say a shout-out to speaking of Florida people, my boy DJ Smokes will get in the chat room. I definitely got to show love to him. He's been a person that's been supporting me since day one. And he just told me he's in H-Town, actually in Tampa. That's crazy. Man, if I was there, I'd be going to where that was. I know whenever, like, H-Town, somebody at an event, ladies go crazy. and that's why I mean when Diddy is asked of people do, like, as far as I say, like, this, I mean, the fans, there's certain way our fans are, but when it's, as far as I say, like, there's people who are in the industry, there's a certain way why they show so much respect when they had someone there at an event, because he shows a lot of people respect, and everyone's kind of, you know, they see the whole character stuff. And they go, he's all cocky and stuff, but really, you know, behind closed doors, you know, you really understand that he is, like you said, he's real chill, and he really is looking out for people. He's moving all over the place, and you know how wild he is, so that's what it is.
Yeah, man. I mean, but, you know, it's part of being a public figure, you know, just like you are, it's just like, you have to give a certain image, and there's a certain image that you have to portray to people. I mean, your behind-the-scenes things is going to be totally different than when you're out. I mean, when you're out, it's partying, popping bottles, you know, throwing stuff in the air, and just being wild and crazy. But at home, you know, it's just sitting on the couch and, you know, reading a book or chilling, you know. So, I mean, you have to live two different lifestyles and be able to distinguish them. If you – perfect example, Jay-Z. You don't know nothing about what goes on in his home. You know he's married, and that's it.
I'm taking a guess. I know he's giving Beyonce the business. I will hear him.
You know he had a past. You know what he did, but you don't know nothing about the dude. Like, so that's what you got to be like, man. You got to have your two separate lives and be able to distinguish them and differentiate them. And Diddy's a master at that. I mean, and every big person, they know how to take care of their home life and their business life in the public, and that's what you gotta learn. That's what you just gotta do.
And most definitely, because I get to, like, people don't realize I'm really a shy person, but it's just when I cut on, I'm like really like I really just like all of a sudden like when I'm out and about and stuff, I'm like this real outgoing person that's like, okay, and real energetic. When I'm really more of a laid back, shy person. But it doesn't matter what show I'm getting ready to do, it could be as small as somebody might think it to as big as they might think it. I'm always nervous for every show. But then when that mic cuts on, it's like, all of a sudden, I forgot everything I was nervous about.
That's exactly how I feel behind the decks, fam. You know, you walk into a new place and you're like, man, you know, this place is kind of big. There's a lot of people here. And then you just come on, and then so you get behind the decks and turn them on, and something just switches, and it's a wrap. You just keep it moving.
I'm on DJ here. I'm like,
you know what, I was going to buy that, but then I was like, you know what, instead of playing DJ Hero, I should be practicing. So the 2 hours I'm going to spend playing, I'm going to practice.
I got it last year for Christmas, and I was just acting a fool all day. It was funny, my mom got on it. Oh my God, that was hilarious.
You know, I read an article about DJ Hero with Nick Hogan. He was just on. I know he was just on your show. Yeah, he was like, I started playing DJ Hero and I loved it so much that I just got on the decks.
Exactly, that's exactly what he said. I was like, dang, that's like, it really does happen. Like guitar was kind of in the sense of kind of let my brother even play guitar even more. Because, I mean, we've always played, our family's played in so many instruments. Between me and him, we probably play every instrument family there is. So it's just, you know, just with him doing, you know, just with Guitar Hero, so it kind of led him more to say, okay, I really want to learn this guitar and whatnot. So he's really starting to get real good, you know.
Yeah, man, you know, we on the come up. You got to learn how to be diverse and do different stuff. You can't just, you know, I know you're doing the radio thing, but you got to be doing like 50 other things, and whichever one lands, that's the one you got to stick with, I guess.
Right. I think sometimes not necessarily if you're trying to land another one, I think sometimes you need to know as far even if you are and you're doing great at being, you're real successful at wherever you are, just as with being a personality or whatnot, you want to learn everything else too, because then it helps you understand more about what that person is doing. Then you can communicate more to them about what you want.
Yeah, man. Real talk, that lets you be, it lets you adapt to any situation. Like, I really pride myself, like, you put me in the hood, you know, you put me in the gutter, you put me on, you know, in a penthouse, I'm going to be able to talk to anyone about anything, you know, because I just have that versatility. And I feel like a lot of people, they need to have it or they need to learn it, because you're going to be talking to a lot of people in this business, and you need to be able to talk to everyone with respect, and you need to be able to talk to everyone on their level, wherever their level might be.
Right. Cause, I mean, people always, because of the way I carry myself a lot of times and whatnot, I mean, people are like, man, like, You from the hood? I was like, yeah. I said, I know the streets and whatnot, and from the hood and all that stuff, originally from the hood. But at the same time, you know, I'm nowhere near gangster at all. I just understand the streets and whatnot, and but I also understand the corporate world very, very well too. And they that's why they convene me so well. They know how to go back and forth and just. And I really, and a lot of people think you're being fake or else call you Uncle Tom because you know how to be. Really, it's not that. It's the fact you just know how to talk to different people. Do not hold yourself into one little bubble.
There you go, man. See, I'm from Brooklyn, Queens, but you ain't never gonna tell. You've been on the phone with me for almost an hour. You know what I mean? I just sound like the regular dude. I mean, worst case scenario, worst comes to worst. You know, we can all get down when we need to, but there's no point because we all trying to get ahead.
That all Southside Fort Worth come at me real quick.
Don't test them. Don't test the boy.
It come out quick.
Don't test them. Don't push him in the corner. He gonna come fighting back.
I always feel like the South is more laid back, but the East Coast is like it's some of the East Coast and the coast, period, like West Coast and East Coast, they're like more, like, if you, they're like real gritty and they would get you, they gotta get you. And, like, sometimes, like, that's how, like, that, like, cause being from, originally from the East Coast, that happens to me sometimes. Like, someone really pushes me there and they take me to that point, that East Coast gonna come out real quick.
You know it.
Like, that sudden hospitality is out the window. Now you're taking all the way back to Jersey. I'm now you're gonna have me go there for a while. But man, oh my God, we got like 8 minutes left. So that means I'll be hearing that British woman's voice in a second. You know, Christmas time. But I was giving all. I love my personal British woman. Then most definitely, man. I really appreciate you coming through. You know, this. I'm glad to put the pieces of the puzzle together because let me find out about this dude some more. And I went and checked out. Of course, you know, y'all can go check out some of his mixes and whatnot at disco.com.
DYSQUO.
com.
Yeah, with the Facebook and Twitter, DYSQUO. Facebook, DYSQUO. Twitter. DYSQUO, YouTube, everything.
And it makes it simple.
Yeah, man, you got to be consistent. Build the brand.
Right. Everything like people used to be like, oh my God, what is this DYSQUO username? It's great. Like, it makes sense because you want like you said, branding. People don't realize that when you have the like, if you're an artist and you're on Twitter or whatnot, and your name is just, like, so, like, you have this, like, a common Twitter name, you're not going to really stand out. You're just going to be another Twitter person.
Yep. I'm going to tell you the truth. The reason I spell my name different is because when someone Googled me, I only wanted them to have one result, and that's just me. And that's why I spelled it differently. Real talk.
I got kind of tight when I saw was nobody using the name Freddie J. Nobody. And I did a Google. I said, hold on, who's this person? I said, I'd be hitting him up. I said, when did you start going by Freddie J? that's the only person I saw I got going by that. But, man,
you see someone using your name, you want to sue them, don't you? You just want to be like, what? You using my joint?
Right. I'm like, hold on, man. You using my name? Hey, I need you to... Slow it down.
I know. I always thought it was whack when someone tried to take a name of someone famous and then they try to incorporate that into their stuff and, you know, use the same thing just to kind of get a little bit of fame, you know, a little bit of notoriety. I mean, that's whack. Just build your own stuff, build your own brand, and if you're good, everything's going to shine through. And that's just the way it is.
Exactly. That's why, I mean, I mean, definitely, like I say, let me say my shout again to Goofy Bro, like Goofy Bro, Envoy, DA, Smells So Good. Their names are just unique in themselves. It's like Goofy, like who would have said themselves, who would woke up one morning and then sat around and say, you know, my name is Goofy Bo. Who you know, comes over there? But the fact that he now, like, that's the thing about when you come up with, you come up so unique, and that's the thing, you take part ownership of that, and then people go, oh, that's Goofy Bo. Or they go, oh, that's DJ Smell So Good. Like, every time I say the name, you should be like, okay. And you, like you said, you type in Google, I shouldn't have, it should be tied to you so easily. And people be like, okay. If somebody uses your name, you're like, okay, you're not the real person.
Right, right. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it's all about the music business is a business. And, you know, it doesn't even matter how good you are, how bad you are. You know, you've heard the worst person, and you're like, man, how'd they get? They suck. But their business was right. They had everything in order. So you got, like, as a business person, the business is maybe 90% of this. You got to have everything right with your business, and then, you know, the other pieces fall into place. So that's just a part of branding right there, you know, just – boom, you got to have your brand together. You have to have, when someone Googles you, you want them to Google you. You don't want them to be like 50 results of different people. They want you, and you want to be able to have a resume online that showed everything that you did and everything, everywhere that you're going. You know what I mean?
Right. I did to the chick before. She was at the club, and she was really being like, who are you? Who do you think you are? And I mean, much as some people drive me to say it, they used to say it so hard, but then sometimes you got to say that phrase now. But I was like, Google my name real quick. Google said he did with that. And then she pulls out her phone, she's Googling, and her face gets broke. And I give her a Kanye shrug, like, hey, it is what it is. This is how you act like.
That's funny, man. Yeah, you know, that's probably one of the most common frames now. Just Google me. You know, you're going to find out who I am. Just Google me. That's funny, though, man.
I just like that look. It's like, pow! It's like, dang! I didn't want to go there, but she was too cocky. I had to bring it back down to earth, man. I said, let me bring that self-esteem down just a little bit, and she would have had cocky. Yeah.
Gotta be humble, man. You don't know who you're talking to. You gotta be humble with it.
I'm humble too. I'm humble to the extent.
No, not you, her. Shorty don't know how to act, yeah, man. You gotta break it down.
I had to go back, man. If she had all the dudes hounding, I'm like, I can't let you use a matter of respect. You act stupid. That's cool. But, oh, man. Go ahead and give us your final shout outs, man.
Man, I want to give a shout-out to CEG Talent. That's my booking agent. If you ever want to book me, just come to disco.com, DISQUO.com, or CEGTalent.com, and you can find me there. Also, I want to send a shout-out to Slip and Slide DJs, All Out All-Star DJs, Party Rocker, my boy DJ Irie, DJ FX, Sandman, Vertigo, 911, OD Blaze, Elevated Scott, I love you, dude. And to you, Mr. Seti J, and that's about it, man. Those are my shout-outs.
All right, man. Big ups to everybody. Big ups to Slip and Slide, man, most definitely. I know a lot of people affiliated with them, and just much love. Much love to everyone, man. Much love to the Trilateral Commission. Just continue to do what we do. We do have variety. Shout out to North by Northwest Urban Entertainment. Everyone on the Dust Spot. You got nothing missing all the shows on dustgals.news.com. And even go check us on the models and artists affiliated with the show. So that's what's going down, man. And
One more thing I want to say before we conclude the show, I just want to thank you for having me on the show. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate the love that you showed me. And, I bless you in everything that you do, and I thank you humbly and sincerely for having me on the show.
Oh, most definitely, man. I want to thank you too, man, because you know you really are doing a lot of stuff, and you could have been like, I don't really want to do this, man. Like, man, I want to do this interview. And so you could have been like that, but you were real humble about it. You're like, okay, you mean it's a person who just totally loses respect. I'm going to show them respect back. So that's definitely.
Oh, yeah, we got each other's contact anytime.
As far as if anyone has serious inquiries about sending you music, what would be the email they come hit you up at?
Best way is dysquo24@gmail.com, or just come to the website dysquo.com. All the information is there. All the links are there. You know, the Facebook, the Twitter, everything is there. You can send me the music there. You can download mixes, watch a video. That's just the best way. I put everything in one spot for everyone. So dysquo.com. To come there, all my links is there. Artists, send me some music. If you got that heat, let me hear it, because I'm going to play it for you if you got it.
I don't have you here, man. Go ahead and say you have it always in every show, man. I know everything you do, no matter what you do, whether you want to be a DJ, or if you want to be a radio personality, or if you want to be a model, if you want to be a chef, whatever you want to do, just remember this. Whether there's a J, or whether there's a U, for God, there is a way. Y'all have tuned into another episode of My Faith Desk Live. Your boy, Sonny J, and special guest, my boy, DJ Disco.
Yeah, yeah. Put God first, baby.
Put him first, and y'all know how we do it, man. We'll see y'all on Monday, Hot Mess at the Desk. Y'all know that's my go-in day, so we'll see who's going to be my hot mess on Monday. All right.
Your leader, alligator.